It's time for the fastest 15 minutes in the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Welcome to the Fastest 15. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Mr. Dory Monson this afternoon. First up on the Fastest 15, Gina Carano was dropped from The Mandalorian after an abhorrent social media post. Now, what did she post? You may be asking yourself. I mean, it's been in the news. Everybody can't stop talking about it. Many people are saying, well, she was fired because she's actually a conservative. When I look at what she actually put out there, again, it's pretty innocuous. She said, Jews were beaten in the streets, not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children, because history is edited. Most people today don't realize that to get to the point where Nazi soldiers could easily round up thousands of Jews, the government first made their own neighbors hate them simply for being Jews. How is that any different from hating someone for their political views? Now, it's hyperbolic. It's a bit over the top, but I get the point that she's trying to make. A lot of people default to Nazi references because it's the most common rhetorical device, because it's such a terrible event in history. The Holocaust, absolutely disgusting event in history, and I get the point that she's trying to make. She's trying to say that we shouldn't be hating people on the right or people on the left, and she's trying to make a call for unity. And yet, everybody is saying that that's abhorrent, that that is a disgusting comment to make. There was a hashtag, Fire Gina Carano. Again, she compared being in the Republican Party to being Jewish during Nazi Germany. Not the best. Not the best comparison, but I get it. I understand what she's trying to say, particularly when we look at how Republicans or people on the right are treated by mainstream media. I recognize that every time I do a show on Cairo or I do a show on KTTH or I release a YouTube video where I talk about right-leaning views, I move further and further away from being able to have a regular job, just a normal, average, everyday type job, because someone can go back and they can say, oh, look at Jack Stein. He supported President Trump when he was getting impeached the first time and the second time. We don't want to hire a guy like that. Or they could go back and they say, well, Jack Stein thinks that the riots on the 6th were a complete and total joke, and he doesn't think it was an insurrection at all. He just thinks it was a bunch of fools. We don't want to hire that guy. He doesn't take it seriously at all. So this is what we've come to in society, where people, because of their political views, are being ostracized. Now, you could take the libertarian view of it. You could say, well, it's a private company. They can do what they want. But is that good for the culture? Is that good for you and your neighbor? There was actually a story that came out from the New York Times earlier this week where it was the Trumpites next door. How do we deal with the Trumpites next door? These nice, polite people who plow our snow for us and are very sweet and very kind, but they supported President Trump. How could we possibly deal with that emotionally? I don't want to get to that point in American politics. I don't hate anybody because they support Joe Biden or they think that Joe Biden is a great guy. I disagree with them, but I don't think that they're a disgusting human being. But if you come out, let's just say you are a Trump supporter. If you come out and you say, yeah, I really liked President Trump's policies and you wear the MAGA hat, people hate you. And what a weird time to be in American society, particularly when a couple of months ago, this was a story, but it just flew right under the radar. Nick Cannon, who was a Disney kid, who was a Disney star, right? He came out on his podcast months ago, and he had just the most disgusting things to say about Caucasian people. Here's what that sounded like back in the day.
And where the term actually comes from, because I'm bringing it all the way back around to Minister Farrakhan, to where they may not have the compassion or the when they were sent to the mountains of Caucasus, when they didn't have the power of the sun, that the sun then started to deteriorate mm-hmm. them. So then they're acting out of fear. They're acting out of low self-esteem. They're acting out of a deficiency. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the only way that they can act is evil. The only way they can, they have to rob, steal, rape, kill, and
fight or flight
in order to survive.
Exactly.
So then these people who didn't have what we had, and when I say we, I speak of the mm-hmm. melanated people.
Right.
They had to be savages. They had to be barbaric. They had, because they're in these Nordic mountains. They're in these rough, torrential environments. Mm. So they're acting as animals.
Right.
So they're the ones that are actually closer to animals. They're the ones that are actually the true savages.
So Nick Cannon said that a couple of months ago when he just got his job back earlier this week. He came back and he got his job with Viacom and his show is coming back. Wild and Out is coming back. Now he came out. Nick Cannon came out and he apologized and he said that he spent some more time reflecting on his comments and he was very sorry about it and please may I have my job back. And they gave him his multi-million dollar job back. But that... What Gina Carano said pales in comparison to that. It's not even in the same ballpark. It's not even on the same planet. And yet the hashtag goes out, cancel Gina Carano. And many people are pushing back against this, and rightfully so. Many people are saying we're going to be canceling our Disney Plus accounts. We want nothing to do with Disney whatsoever. But other people are buying into the narrative. Someone tweeted really sad about at Gina Carano, not being in at The Mandalorian anymore. I really liked Cara Dune. That was the character, by the way, that she played on The Mandalorian. She was so badass. I'm utterly disappointed to find out she is an anti-masker, alt-righter, QAnoner, transphobic Trump supporter. She is probably none of those things. None of those things that you just described. I believe she's a Trump supporter, but she outside of that, she is none of those things. So this is the narrative that people now apply to people like you and I. If you are of the right, you are now assumed to be outright anti-masker, alt-righter, QAnoner, transphobic, which you could be none of those things, right? And most of us are not alt-righters because the alt-right is gross. Those are the kind of people who want an ethno-state. So when someone comes out and they talk about being an alt-righter, that is, you're bordering on white supremacy at that point in time. And people who are truly of the right want nothing to do with that whatsoever. But that, now we have to apply this to just a blanket standard outright. So if I come out and I try to defend President Trump this week and I come out and I say, you know what, I find this impeachment trial to be a total sham. What is the response that people have to me? Oh, he's a QAnon guy. He's an alt-righter. He's a MAGA guy. He believes in the QAnon conspiracy. None of those things. But this is the route that we're going down. I was talking to Nicole and I were talking about this before the show. I don't care what these people say. I don't care. Nick Cannon can come out and say that, and he's part of the public conversation, and I get to say, Nick Cannon, that is disgusting. I will no longer watch your show, Wild and Out. Not that I did in the first place, but I will no longer watch your show. And I think that Gina Carano should be able to have that Instagram post. I don't care. What I care about is the double standard, where you try to tell me that an innocuous tweet from Gina Carano is somehow more so or comparable to what Nick Cannon said, and therefore she should lose her job over it. I find that to be, we can't have this in society. We can't have that in culture where there is that double standard. Because what's going to happen is people are just going to start going into their own little circles. And we're going to have conservative media outlets only and liberal outlets only. And then eventually we're going to get to the point where it's conservative credit cards only and liberal credit cards only and conservative cell phones only. It's going to be miserable. And that's how you divide the country, is when you hold people to a double standard. Meanwhile, there is a cabinet position that's trying to be filled right now by Neera Tanden. And she referred to, and this is in Joe Biden's administration, by the way, she's the OMB pick. And she called Bernie Sanders everything but an ignorant slut. And so Representative Kennedy came back and he was talking to her about it on Wednesday. Here's a quick audio clip of what that sounded like.
I have to tell you, I'm very disturbed about your personal comments about people. And it's not just one or two. I think you deleted about 1,000 tweets. And it wasn't just about Republicans. And I don't mind disagreements in policy. I think that's great. I love the dialectic. But the comments were personal. I mean, you call Senator Sanders everything but an ignorant slut.
That is not true.
And when you said these things, did you mean them?
I wouldn't have said ignorant.
Senator, I have to say, I deeply regret my comments.
I understand that, but when you said them, did you mean them? I understand you've taken them back, but did you mean them?
I'd say the discourse over the last 4 years on all sides has been incredibly polarizing.
I'm asking about yours. Did you mean them?
I really feel badly about them, Senator.
Did you mean them?
I feel badly about them.
Did you mean them when you said them?
I mean, I would say social media is a.
Did you mean them when you said them?
I feel terribly about them.
Did you mean them when you said them, or were you not telling the truth?
I mean, I feel badly. I look back at them. I said them. I feel badly about them. I deleted tweets over all
my. Are you saying that because you want to be confirmed?
No, I felt badly about them. And
did you mean them when you said them?
Senator, I must have meant them, but I really regret them.
I want the record to reflect that I did not call Senator Sanders an ignorant slut. Okay?
I don't know how I should take that, Senator Kennedy, but...
That is a rough grilling right there. I think we need to get away from this persecution when it comes to someone's Twitter feed. I don't like it. I think we need to get away from this idea of what somebody posts on social media. It is not real life, and yet we treat it as if it is. People will say hyperbolic things. People will say extreme things when they are on the internet. We live in this click universe. We live in this universe where people now feel as if likes are the most important thing. So people will go out and say hyperbolic, high-intensity things. But what does it actually mean IRL in real life? And I think that she answered that question to the best of her ability. She said, I feel badly about it. But the constant grilling and the, well, did you really mean it? Did you really mean it? What does it matter now? She might have meant it at the time. I mean, Nicole, have you ever posted anything out of just, I don't know, haste?
No. I can honestly say I haven't, but that's because since social media has been around, I've worked in media and I know better. But I do think I agree with you on the everybody should be held the same standard. And I do believe that, you know, they're words and we give too much. We have to think more about what people are intending with their words and not what you want to interpret from them or what you want to pretend that they mean or the literal meaning or whatever it is. But there's more behind them often that we don't consider.
It is true, and you have to wonder at what point in time do we just stop going back, where there is a threshold where we no longer go back and we say, well, if someone said something 10 years ago, we're not going to go far back anymore, or if somebody said something 5 years ago. But now, I mean, you could find things on my previous social media. You could find something on my YouTube channel, Human Genius. You could find something on my Twitter page that I deleted. You could find something in the Wayback Machine, something that I might have said, and you could say, wow, that is disgusting. I can't believe he said that. But how do I feel about it now? I think that we should be focusing much more on how does somebody feel about it presently, in the same way that people are giving Nick Cannon the benefit of the doubt when he comes out and he says, well, I was super sorry about that, didn't mean to say such horrible things about white people. That company decided to give him a second chance. But instead, we've been caught up in revenge culture, and we've been caught up in this idea that there are some topics that are just too taboo to talk about.
Well, I'll
give you another example.
It means something when it's like a hateful statement, when it's somebody, you know, posting something racist. I think you get something. But I think that, you know, it's one thing to like show hate through these posts and show hate through social media. And that's harder to forgive. But when you're making like the girl from the Star Wars thing, like she's making a comparison. So maybe it wasn't probably the best comparison, but you kind of know what she means and you know what she is trying to say. And is Nick trying to say that, you know, everybody now, or white people now, are animals? It's like, no, I mean, I know what he's trying to say. He just is really bad at doing it. And I know.
Yeah,
I mean,
terrible.
I try to believe the best in people. I think he was just trying to, you know, make something viral or say something big and didn't really realize how it was going to be interpreted or whatever. I don't know. But it's definitely, like I said, you have to consider the intent instead of just the words.
Yeah, I agree. And he actually says in that fun little speech he gave, that Nick Cannon gave, he said, you know, in the words of Minister Farrakhan, and that's when I went, oh, no, you are not about to go off on a Louis Farrakhan rant right about now, because that is not going to do anything for your career except for put it right into the garbage. Speaking of, hospitals are seeing an uptick in liver disease related to pandemic alcohol abuse. Before the pandemic, tens of millions of Americans struggled. By the way, this is from the Washington Post. Millions of Americans struggled with alcohol addiction, and there are indications that the problem is becoming more severe with effects that could outlast the pandemic. I quit drinking some time ago. I quit drinking and drugging some time ago. And when the pandemic first hit, I began to see people relapsing. Friends of mine going back out, as they call it in AA or NA. But they were going back out and they were relapsing because the pressure just got too much for them. At the University of Southern California, admissions for alcoholic liver disease were up 30% in 2020 compared with 2019. Rates of admissions were up 50% since March at the University of Michigan. This is just astounding. It is absolutely astounding to me, particularly as someone who lives a sober and clean lifestyle, that people, when you put them under that amount of pressure, when you take away their jobs and you take away their ability to go out and to have a normal life, what do they default back to? They say, well, if I don't have anything to look forward to, I guess I'll just drink myself into oblivion. Alcohol sales have also skyrocketed. Nielsen reported a 54% increase in national alcohol sales in March 2020 compared to the previous year, and online sales were up by 262%, which is just amazing. Nicole, you were telling me that your drinking went up.
Oh, yeah. And it's not, well, I think this study particular, we've had this conversation a few times about alcohol sales and stuff like that during the pandemic. And I see it because people are just bored. And so when you're bored, you just kind of, I'll just drink wine and watch TV. And I think for the most part, you know, the average drinker just kind of drank more and it just probably was out of boredom. And that was kind of my thing. I mean, I had a roommate towards the beginning of the pandemic and we were just bored and we sat on the porch and drank, or we went for walks with our, you know, around the town with a drink like it was Vegas, because that's what was going on. And so I think for the average person it's something, but I think this does amplify bad habits. Like, I think the pandemic definitely, you know, put a magnifying glass on some people's problem areas, and that's one of them. So I'm sure people that ended up in the hospital for that issue didn't just start drinking terribly during the pandemic, but amplified the drinking that was already out of control, or something along those lines. And I think that's one of the things that pandemic did bring out, is, you know, people's weaknesses and everything got amplified. And that's why we have this need for counseling, need for therapists, need for rehabs, need for everything. Everything, the weaknesses got exaggerated.
I got to tell you, if I was still drinking and drugging, the last year would have just been heaven for Jack Stein.
Right?
You're telling me I have to stay in my house and I can't go anywhere and the government's going to give me money? Oh, man,
right.
Jack Stein. Me at 26 would have just been having the best time of his life. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Dory Monson. We got to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with my revenge against Bruce Springsteen after this.
And vodka puts my mouth in gear. Oh, this little refrain should help me explain. As a matter of fact, I like fear. Yeah. Thank you. My wife often frowns when we're out on the town, and I'm wearing a suit and a tie. She's sipping vermouth and she thinks I'm uncouth when I yell as the waiter goes by, hey, I like beer. It makes me a jolly.
Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. I'm Jack Stein, sitting in for Mr. Monson this afternoon. We were going to get into... I wanted to talk about the boss. I wanted to talk to talk about the boss so bad. But we've got breaking news. Hannah Scott, national treasure, hero, dare I say, Hannah Scott.
Wow.
Sticking it to the man. That what you did to Jay Inslee, and that I have listened to that audio now three times. It's just amazing to me that you were able to maintain your composure in the face of that kind of like,
yeah,
I'm not quite sure what you're asking right now.
That's not my first rodeo with that response. So,
the center portion of the state is upset about being held back as far as the state opening back up is concerned. What have you got for us, Hannah Scott?
So this is, as we know, he announced 92% of the state is going to be open come Sunday, with five more of these regions being allowed to move to phase two. That leaves just the South Central region, which is several different counties. You've got your Tri-Cities, Walla Walla, Yakima, and Kittitas County are in there. Republican Senator Judy Warnick is the senator for Kittitas County. And here's what she had to say about it.
I'm glad he's moved the rest of the Eastern Washington and even the rest of Western Washington. I'm glad he's done that for those businesses, those residents that need to get back to work. I'm very glad that he's loosened the reins, if you will, but very disappointed he didn't do that with South Central.
Very disappointed that he didn't do that with South Central. She says it's a slap in the face, essentially, for Kittitas County, which is doing much better than everyone else in that county. Here's what she says.
When he first set those regions, I knew what was going to come down. And then when he opened Central Puget Sound and just a couple counties on the west side, that was my first thought, that it was politics. But, you know, I hope that's not the case. I hope that's not the case.
And that's the criticism we've heard from some people who say, you know, this is personal. There's early on in the pandemic, the Yakima area, there were people who weren't following the mask mandate. There was even in the Tri-Cities, some of the, I believe it was the county commissioners, who actually took some sort of legislative action to just reject the governor's mandate early in the pandemic and not follow any of it. And then that got reversed. But it was a big kind of tug of war between them. So some accuse him of making this personal, which, of course, he denies and says that's not the case. It's all based on the metrics. At any rate, Warnock has these messages for the governor.
I would say, Governor, look at the numbers. Look at the counties individually. They are working hard as a county in Kittitas County and some of these others. I would ask him to look at those counties individually. Don't wait 2 weeks. That's what I would say to the governor. Don't wait 2 weeks. We've already met the metrics in Kittitas County.
And they have met the metrics in Kittitas County. And in fact, one thing she showed me was she said Kittitas County made national news literally just a couple of weeks ago. I think it was on CNN, NBC News, for how very hard they'd worked to have this wonderful vaccine rollout. They didn't waste a single dose. They were running laps around everyone else basically in the country. And they've done about the same as far as making sure that they don't have more transmission and everything like that. So whereas Yakima County was seeing still like 65 some odd cases a day, six new cases a day in Kittitas County. And they are currently meeting all four metrics. But because they're in this regional situation lumped in with the other counties, they're stuck in phase one.
Yeah, I never attribute to malice what you could attribute to stupidity. And if I had to guess, if you are beholden to the metric, if you are going around and saying, well, this is the metric and this is the standard that we have applied and this is what we're going to be going off of, that's probably what Inslee is doing. I don't see him as being a vindictive guy in that way. I see him as being kind of foolish. I see him as being very silly, and I see him as having bad COVID policy. But as far as being a vindictive guy, it's hard for me to square that circle when he's the, hey, I'm for electric cars and I'm on my electric scooter, vote for me, when he was running for president. Somehow that guy is this evil despot who's enacting revenge against the center of the state. I just don't, it doesn't work out for me, Hannah Scott.
No, and really the most negativity I've heard from him in general in the years I've been covering him has been back and forth with our former president, Donald Trump. There was some back and forth there, but otherwise he's generally not a negative guy, very positive. I mean, even just listen to his press conferences. Yesterday it was like seriously the good news train. Everything was upbeat. He was praising the double masking from the CDC, and everything was just a celebration. I don't see him doing anything personally like that, and I would agree with you. But there is those rumors out there. He has absolutely said, look, he goes, I think we asked him a couple of press conferences ago, why do you have these regional plans where you're lumping some of these counties in that are doing much better than the counties they're lumped in with? And it's not fair. And he said, no matter which way we went, it wouldn't be seen as fair to someone somewhere. So this is what we're doing. He thought it was more predictable somehow. It would basically stabilize the situation more to do it regionally because it's based on hospitals and availability of hospitals in those areas and beds and things like that.
That's the other part of this metric system that I find so frustrating, is that it's solely based on the amount of beds. That's been what everybody has been fixating on across the country. The amount of beds, the amount of beds, the amount of beds. As if medical providers could not expand outwards and provide more beds. Like, that's what they're supposed to do. That's their job. When they say, well, we've got overflow, what can we do? And we've seen it done time and time across the country. But that's neither here nor there. Hannah Scott, thank you so much for once again being a national treasure and standing in the face of adversity and saying, no, Jay Inslee, you will answer my question. I did find that to be really quite very impressive.
Well, thank you. I will definitely have to come on and be with you on the air more often.
I know, I'm so complimentary.
I don't get that kind of praise from our normal hosts. Thank you.
I know everybody else is like, Hannah Scott, you really should have grilled him. I often ask myself, if I was in front of Inslee and I had one question to ask Inslee, what would it be? And mine personally, just speaking for Jack Stein, it would be, why do you hate the people of Washington so much? You're the governor. Why do you hate everybody so much to keep them locked up in their homes for months and take away their ability to work and just pretend like everything's okay? I'm not sure I would get the best answer.
He would say right now, I'll tell you what, the vast majority of Washingtonians are following this, and that's why we're doing so well in 92% of the state. He, you know, yes. He's a glass half full kind of guy.
Yeah, and I happen to be the, maybe that's why he and I clash, is because I'm kind of a glass half empty kind of guy. And so maybe we'd make the perfect odd couple. Inslee,
there you go.
When he's not governor anymore, we should do a radio show together, Inslee and I, where I can just berate Inslee for hours on end.
I would tune into that.
Hannah Scott, thank you so much for your time. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. We got to take a really quick break. And when we get back, finally, we're going to rip into the boss for just a couple of few. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Dory Monson Show. I'm Jack Stein, sitting in for Dory Monson. I'm going to take us on a trip down memory lane. Back in October, I was filling in for Mr. Monson, and we did a story about how the boss, Bruce Springsteen, was talking about how if President Trump was reelected, he was going to leave the country. And I begged him. I said, boss, no, please don't leave. What will we do if you go, boss? Who's gonna do Born to Run? I don't want to see a cover band. I want to see the boss in all of his glory. Please don't go. And so thankfully, the boss didn't have to leave. And we're also very appreciative. And we do this thing constantly where we imbue celebrities with this kind of knowledge about the world. And I'm getting so tired of it. Bruce Springsteen knows nothing about politics. He can kind of sort of sing, and he can kind of sort of play guitar. And he was very good looking back in the 80s. He was a very handsome man. And for some reason now, we all think that the boss is the man. And whatever his hot takes are on politics, that should be the end all be all. And I'm done with it. I don't care what Lady Gaga thinks about politics. I don't care what, who's the guy that plays Captain America? He's kind of a lefty. It doesn't matter. That guy. I don't care what he thinks about politics. It makes no difference to me whatsoever. But the boss, if you remember, right, he's talking about how Donald Trump was a monster, terrible, awful human being, the Nazi, and he simply could not live in a country where President Trump was going to be president again. He got busted. He got busted in New Jersey. He pulled over to take some pictures with some fans, and then he took a shot of tequila offered by one of them in full view of the cops. He is 71 years old, and he'd been riding his motorcycle on the peninsula on November 14th, again, when he was spotted by fans who asked him to pull over and take some pictures. He stopped, took the pictures, took a shot of tequila, and then got back on the bike and decided to drive away. I don't know about you, but the lowest form of humanity to me is someone who drinks and drives. Now, you could be saying, hey, he was below the legal limit, which he was, 0.02%. That's just a quarter of New Jersey's legal limit when he was arrested. However, I can think of nothing more disgusting than someone who takes a drink and then immediately gets behind the wheel of a car or on a motorcycle. It's disgusting behavior, but because he's Bruce Springsteen and because he's the boss, he gets to do what he wants, right? So he was charged with the DWI, reckless driving and consuming alcohol in a closed area. That's what a spokesperson for the National Park Service said. And if you remember, the boss just recently did a Super Bowl commercial where he came out and he was talking about America in the Jeep. Now, Nicole, you remember this? What was the whole vibe of the commercial? It was very serious, and
Middle America, and so how?
Yeah,
bringing back Middle America. But I thought it was funny because apparently Jeep spent a lot of money, a lot of time convincing Springsteen to do this. I mean, he ended up getting most of the control of it. His team had like creative or veto power or whatever, creative control. And then spent all this money. I didn't think it was that great of a commercial. I thought it was boring. I tuned out after about 5 seconds. I was like, this is boring. But, and so they spent all this time and energy and money and everything on this big ad. And then this comes out, which this happened back in November. So then this comes out last week, the commercial comes out last week, and then this happens this week, and they pulled the ad just like that. Like, it's not on YouTube. They've pulled it, and what a waste. And I just think it was really kind of, I don't know, not classy of the boss to keep this information hidden, I guess. I mean, it sounds like they didn't have a plan for this leaking or whatever, which, I mean, of course it was going to leak when you have court dates involved and things like that. So, so I just think it's quite the oops on Jeep.
Well, if the boss gets convicted, he can't go anywhere. Now, if you remember back in October, he was saying, well, if President Trump gets reelected, I'm going to move to Canada and get out of the United States. But now with a DWI or a DUI, he cannot be in Canada. They won't let him in. They'll say no.
Right, if he's convicted, I'm guessing by the sounds of what's happening, it'll probably get dropped to like a reckless or something like that. And he might be able to, but for the time being with pending court dates, I'm guessing not.
Mm-mm,
well, we're
boss,
not allowed
you can't
in
go
there
anywhere.
Anyway. Not allowed
it's,
across
it's
the border.
It's fascinating
right
to me. It never fails to fascinate me that we have all these people who pretend like there are moral betters, that they are so much better than you and I because of the way that they vote or because of the politicians that they endorse, that they are so much better than you. And then you find out that they're just regular people, that they're just regular individuals who make mistakes like anybody else. Or in some cases, like in the case of Joss Whedon, being accused of harassment, abuse. It's amazing to me that we continue to do this thing where we imbue celebrities with this kind of authority, again, on politics or culture, and then they just show us that they don't know. They don't know. They have no idea, and they're just regular, average, everyday people. I'm Jack Stein, filling in for Dory Monson. We got to take a really quick break. If you want to find more of my content, you can go to my YouTube channel, Human Genius. It is very easy to find. See a picture of a little brain in my big, beautiful face that you can see right at this very moment in my multi-million-dollar studio. We'll take a really quick break. We'll be right back after this.